Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 23rd day of March 2019. We're going to be looking at the whole idea of living spiritless. What is the difference between that and, shall we say, our soul? And we will look at spiritlessness today because you brought it up with beautiful questions that you sent me, believe it or not, over the last week. And due to a radio program, I talked a little bit about the soul. And I'm very, very grateful for your questions and your interest. And if you ever want to offer a question, you can do so by emailing me either from the website at aspire.org. There's a little button there that says email Gregory. Or you can just do it this way, Greg, really easy, at aspirereallyeasy.org, O-R-G, and you can email me. You know these radio programs are supported solely and entirely due to your tax-deductible gift, your sponsorship. It is only through your kindness and your sponsorship that I am allowed to continue. And we always need more sponsors. It's a revolving door, as it were, and we still have, you know, bills to pay, et cetera, et cetera. You know all that. If you go to the website at aspire.org, down at the bottom, you will see why support Aspire, and it will tell you about all the things you support in a monthly or a quarterly gift done four times a year, and how much that means not only to the listening audience, but how much that actually means to people you may never meet who I serve at hospice, etc. It is a very, very important thing that you do. People forget those who are leaving their body. Those who have lived a life and are leaving their body, and we often forget who these people are and how important they are. And it's a gruesome affair at times. It really is. I'm not going to tell you it's not. But it needs to be done, and I do a lot of work with the families, etc. So your gift means a great deal. It really does. And we live in a culture and a society now that doesn't give. Just doesn't. And these radio programs and TV programs that I offer are seen 24/7 all over the world. I hope you'll see the bigger picture and become a sponsor. What does the word spiritless mean? It's an interesting word. Lacking courage, vigor, veracity. Depressed, downcast, melancholy. That's the opposite of the word, as it were. Spiritless. I like the word zeal. A zeal is something that lives within those who seek the way. A zeal is to have courage, compassion. It is to have the energy, what I tell my students, the horsepower, to enter into an authentic spiritual practice and to sustain it through love and compassion. It is to have the courage to go beyond what is comfortable for the body. A lot of people can't get beyond their bodies. A lot of people just can't get beyond the idea of serving their body because the body is everything to them. And when the body is feeling, depressed or unhappy, most people cave in. Zeal overcomes the spiritlessness of not having the energy, the courage, the compassion to do those things that make love possible. So we got our terms here. The first question comes from Valerie in Los Angeles. I wonder what my spirit is. Do you understand what I mean by spirit? Can you explain? Well, actually, it is you who needs to explain to me, Valerie. I'm not quite sure what you mean, but I kind of think I do. And that's why I chose your question, because I kind of think I get it here. You wonder what your spirit is. Your spirit in general, and the way most people would look at spirit, is that part of you that you carry with you, believe it or not, from lifetime to lifetime. And this spirit is the accumulation of all sorts of life experiences that you've had that generate the quality of your energies, define the qualities of your energies. This definition is very, very important of energy because it absolutely convinces you and defines the idea of the kind of person you think you are or how you're going to live your life, how you're actually going to, quote unquote, turn out. Now, if you understand what I just said, if you can conceive of that, then you will understand that there needs to be a maturation. The spirit has to eventually lead you to the soul. If it doesn't lead you to the soul, it will just live as emotion in your body, and it will lead you to all sorts of mischief. Now, according to the dictionary, it is lacking spiritlessness, is lacking courage. Well, I don't know about that. I've seen a lot of people who think they have spirit who don't have a lot of courage. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people like that, don't you? They have the gumption to do certain things, maybe rebel or have mean-spirited stuff going on. I know a lot of people who are mean-spirited. And this isn't a good thing, but what can I say? It is what people like to do. Being mean-spirited, we see it in our government. We see it in TV. We see it in movies. We just don't get it. We don't understand what that means. So spirit is a non-physical part of a person, according to the dictionary, that is the seat of emotions and character. The non-physical part of a person regarded as a person's true self and capable of surviving physical death or separation. The non-physical part of a person manifested as an apparition after death. The supernatural. Okay, so that's kind of an overview and a pretty good one of what our spirit is. It is the emotions that make up our character. But where do we get these, shall we say, emotions? We get them from our body, from genetics, and then we formulate them into something called our character. You have the spirit inside of yourself to believe in certain things and not other things. You believe in a God or you don't believe in a God. You believe that people are wrong and people are right and that there is this and there is that in the world. You know, it's all based on preferences and biases. That's our spirit. But zeal is something different. To have zeal is a totally different thing. It is beyond a person's quote-unquote true self or capacity to survive. Zeal is that which pushes you forward into an authentic spiritual practice, into meditation, into spiritual awakening, where you are no longer looking at your life from the premise of emotionality. When you transcend your emotions, you have done a great thing in your life. Your emotions are there to help you survive in the physical world, and they're there to be transcended. They are not regarded as the true self of a person. They in spiritual work, that is, they are basically there to help you survive anything that you might encounter in the form of difficulties in this world. It's just kind of, to me, the spirit is the, shall we say, the form, the energy of the human body and the human instinct. But it should never be confused with deep spirituality. It should never be confused with the soul, ever, because there are two different things. If your spirit can transcend into zeal, in other words, if my spirit for survival can transcend survival, it will move into the zeal, the energy, the interest to enter into an authentic spiritual practice. And that will change everything, Valerie. And so few people understand this or even choose to understand this. Their mental acuity is not very high. Their acumen is very low. They don't get it. They don't want to get it. They're not interested in getting it because it doesn't serve their need to survive and get what they want. A lot of things were done out of human spirit. War, famine, poverty, hurting people. I saw this movie, Vice. I don't know if you've seen it, about Dick Cheney. What a mess. What a mess. And this has been going on for a long time. Our government, the people, we the people get the government we deserve. It is all very true. It really is. Thomas Jefferson kind of coined that. And when you look at us, we're cheating on our kids are cheating on their SAT and they're getting support from their parents. You start to look at that. That takes no courage at all. Yet it is a spirit. It is the spirit of survival. And that's all it is. It's DNA. And you're not going to get around it by saying you shouldn't do that. We have to address certain issues in us, and they're very, very important to address. And we just don't do it. Valerie, I don't know if that helped you. I hope it did. If I can be of further help, give me a call or ask another question, and I'll answer it here on radio. Please forgive me, and thank you for your question. Namaste. The next one comes from Joe. He does not, nobody tells me where they live. You guys think I'm going to come and find you or something? Anyway, I feel unemotional and yet emotional. Do you understand, Joe? Yes, Joe, I do understand. I do. It depends on the subject. I think you will find that you're unemotional about certain subjects, but you're still emotional about those subjects. It just is that the emotions are lower. They're more hidden in the background. And they're defining, they're still defining the way you're going to think, the way you're going to believe, the way you're going to act and interact in your life. They're very much still there. But you're missing. You're missing the chance to transcend them. And I understand what you're saying. And actually, it's really a good observation that you have. And we all go through it. What does it take for a person to absolutely transcend their emotionality? What does it take? It takes absolute courage. It takes absolute compassion. You have to be totally, totally insightful and see the bigger picture of your own life. If you and I do not see that bigger picture of our own life, we will continue to live and think and act in ways that are based in emotionality, and that will define the character of us, not the soul. The soul is totally different. It is an entity, a body that lives within you that is totally separate from all of the emotional craziness that Greg and Joe might be able to conjure up through instinct and genetic dispositions. That's the truth of the matter. Now, if you want to gather people's attention, you want to garner their support or whatever, the way you do it is through emotionality. I love this definition of spirit, the non-physical part of a person. Well, it turns into quite a bit of physicality. I mean, you can see when a person is physically emotional or their quote-unquote spirit is rising in them. You know, they get angry or they get passionate. And in that passion, that can be anger or that can be love. They think of it as love. It's really not. It's affection. It can be a lot of different things. But whatever it is, here's what it does. And Joe, you, I hope you will understand this. It forms your mental acumen, what you can understand, what you can actually comprehend within you. And few people actually sit down with themselves and ask, what is it that I can actually comprehend? What is my acumen? What is it that I can come to and I can live my life from and, so to speak, figure out? How do I act and react? It's your acumen. How you live within yourself. So you are emotional because you like these emotions and they're all emotional and they get to charge in your life, but not these over here. So the emotions that you might have that you like are about, anything that passionizes you, gets you excited, makes you feel important, or makes you feel there's hope, or makes you feel like something new is on the horizon, something like that. They're going to get something that's going to fulfill your bodily needs, like having a person come in your life to love you, having something in your world that brings you gratification and satisfaction, things like that. That's a big one. But when you enter into something beyond all of that, when you enter into something that is, shall we say, spiritless, where you have the courage to move beyond the instincts of your human body, now you're moving into something less emotional. And now you can be led into love. Now you can be led into your soul. And that can be a quality inside of you that is magnificent, that truly brings about insight, that truly brings about honor, respect for other people, and to really get who they are. And that is a big thing. So yeah, I do understand. You feel emotional and yet non-emotional. You feel like, well, some things I can get behind and really, get all excited about, and other things I just can't get excited about. I can't get behind because you don't see any benefit in it for yourself. And that's really what it's all about, trying to find benefit. Trying to find something that is going to occupy your emotionality and give you some sense of hope, maybe beyond the desperation you might be feeling about yourself, your life, your world, whatever. But there you are. This is what it's all about. And for the most part, we live in a life looking for emotionality that brings us to some spiritual thing, have more spirit for fighting and getting what we want, key phrases, to make America great again, to be a better person, to get what you want, all these little phrases that trigger our emotionality. These are phrases that, oh, yes, we can. There's another one. Remember, I'm using political stuff, not because I'm political, but because these are the things that motivate people, get them to do things they think they're doing but not really doing. Everybody reacts emotionally to the things that they can react to and understand things based on how they live within their emotionality. If you really look at it, your whole life is defined by your emotions. How you live in them defines your life. So all of these little catchphrases are just things to make you believe that you're a better person than what you really are, and that you have more power than what you really have, and that you're on the side that's right and not on the wrong side. All this is horse manure. It really is. Buddha's phrase is much more powerful. See how you love and what keeps you from your journey. It's all about love. And love, well, has nothing to do with Greg and Joe's emotionality. I hope that helped you, Joe. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, and this is from Anne. She does not tell me where she lives. What is the reason for living if not for passion? Passion is a hope. Passion is a kind of a blind emotion. Emotions gone amok. And people will say, you know, if you have passion, you can be an artist. You bring forth all sorts of creativity. And that may be true. I don't have a problem with that. But if you keep doing the passion thing, eventually you're going to trip over a cord inside of yourself where you go haywire, where it is emotions that are not bound by any kind of sense of discipline. And when you have excess without control, you are in a position where you're going to go into spiritual mischief and maybe even life and death situations. So, you know, these guys that like to climb mountains, you know what I mean? And they like to climb them without ropes and things like that. You've seen the movie, I'm sure. And I looked at it and I thought, what utter concentration and focus. That was, you know, energy. That was excess within control. And it was an amazing thing that we can do when we have this sense of containment of our emotions and we are focused on one thing and one thing alone. We can do many beautiful things that way and many spectacular stunts, things that were not about the mind or not about the mountain, but were about the mind. And that's exactly what was going on in the movie. And I thought it was very interesting to watch the whole thing unfold, to overcome fear. This is beyond living in the containment of passion. He used his spirit to move into awareness. And then that spirit turned into something inexplicable. Can't be defined, but it is certainly magnificent. And the more you and I understand this, the more you and I get involved in this kind of thing, the deeper and more profound our life becomes. So passion, you know, if it is governed by discipline, can be very helpful to the physicality, the concentration of us. But when passion goes amok and it's excess without control, without any discipline whatsoever, that's when it gets hairy. That's when it gets strange. And that's when we get in trouble because we miss what it's really all about. And we just go into this cyclops of craziness that a lot of people enjoy. There are some people who actually think that that's what life is all about, is to have this kind of crazy experience. But there you are. I hope that helps you. Excess within control can be very helpful in an authentic spiritual practice. It really can be. And maybe you can use that sometime. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your question. And please forgive me. Namaste. Well, that's it. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I have another set of wonderful questions that you've sent me. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste.